his local talk jock Howie Carr. He'll just be another lost voice.
Would you look at this as an end of an era in Boston?
He has no place to go, and talk is just too dumb. I mean, it's too tedious and repetitive.
And this is just, you know, one more indication of how outrageous he can be.
Here they are ripping me now, and I'm still here.
Live from the Burna Less Lethal Pistol Studio.
And I'm still here.
It's Howie Carr.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. Howie is still here, just not here here. He's here in the general sense. And you know, if he were here, he would be celebrating many different things that we have to celebrate as we count down to the end of 2025. And the biggest thing is the Trump economy and what it's delivering. Delivering so much that even Good Morning America has to report on the good news. Cut number 15, please, Jared.
Hey, how about some good news for those of us hitting the road for the holidays? Gas prices, they're dropping nationwide, and this is for the fifth consecutive week. So Elizabeth Schulze is here with more. Elizabeth, good morning.
Good morning, Malika. So this is really welcome news for the more than 100 million Americans hitting the roads during the holidays. Gas Buddy says the national average price for a gallon of gas down for the fifth straight week. So it's now $2.75. That's down 23 cents in 1 month in 40 states. Average gas prices are now below that $3 mark. Now, we do tend to see lower prices this time of year. That's because generally demand does go down. People are parked during the holidays. School is out. Oil production is also up, which does help keep prices low. Gas Buddy says we could start to see prices tick up in about 6 weeks, but bottom line for now, cheapest December for gas prices in 5 years.
Okay, so that's some good news here.
Absolutely.
But lower gas prices, I imagine that more folks are hitting the road to see the loved ones maybe for the holiday season. I don't know, maybe it's the Los Angeles city, but is that going to mean more traffic?
Yeah, and you know traffic. So overall, AAA does expect minimal traffic tomorrow and Thursday. If you're driving today, want to leave before 10 a.m. Also, you can save some money on gas by driving just a little bit slower. If you go 62 miles an hour instead of 75, it's going to lower your fuel consumption by 50%.
Okay, so slow down when you're driving.
Take it easy.
That's where we're going to take it easy.
Thank you for some good economic news this morning,
Elizabeth. I'll consume the extra gas to go those extra 15 miles an hour. I'm not slowing down from 75 to 62, but I'm definitely enjoying the falling gas prices. We were told by Joe Biden that he was doing everything he could, just like on the border. He was doing everything he could to bring prices down. And yet, gas prices now under President Donald Trump at a five-year low. Five-year low. And so we talk about the cost of the economy and what Trump's delivering. When you have low energy prices because we brought back drill, baby, drill, because we're no longer trying to hamper ourselves. People have kind of given up on this idea that we're going to waste money, make it more expensive to get less energy. We're going to have cheaper energy, cheaper gas prices, cheaper oil. We want to make it cheaper for people to pay to heat their houses. But we don't necessarily get to benefit from all of it in these blue states where they have these green energy mandates, where they're putting extra charges on your electrical bill to fund their public policy. And so it's not enough to just go with Donald Trump. It's like the whole thing with the blue states that have decided that for 2025, rather than move into conformity with the federal tax laws, they weren't going to pass on the no tax on tips. Okay, no tax on your federal tax, but on the state tax, they're still taxing them. That's what we're dealing with in Maine. That's what they're dealing with in many other states where the Democrat governor said, no, we're not passing on the benefits. 844-500-4242 is the number on the Howie Carr Show. And there are other big advantages that we're seeing in the economy or we're expecting to see as the big, beautiful bill kicks in. And just based on what the results are of some of Trump's policies. Here is a cut of... Stephen Moore. Stephen Moore, you'll remember that Trump had nominated him to the Federal Reserve. He got blocked for some reason. The Democrats didn't like him. But here he is discussing the impact of Trump on the economy. Cut 14.
Well, Joe, let's start with where we were exactly a year ago when you had all of the blue chip forecasters, including the Fed and, the professional and academic economists. And if you looked at the forecast for the blue chip, it was that we would have about 1.9% growth for 2025. And we now know with pretty much certainty what the growth rate will be, according to the Atlanta Federal Reserve Board through the through December 23rd. And we've had growth rates over the last three quarters that have been twice that high, almost twice that high. So we've got an economy that is doing much, much better than the economists believed. And part of the reason the economists were so negative on the economy, Joe, is exactly the point you just made, tariffs. Now, you are exactly right. I'm not a big fan of tariffs, but you know what? I am a big fan of some of these trade deals that Trump has been able to pull off over the last 12 months with Korea, with China, with Japan, with Canada, with the Europeans, all making concessions to the United States in a very positive way.
You know what? That's the thing right there. Is that Trump has been able to use the tariffs to create leverage, to create the very thing that he doesn't have when we're talking about Russia, is that we don't have leverage. Now he has leverage. He has leverage. He's been able to do it to negotiate trade deals. He's been able to do it to negotiate more favorable investments in the United States. He's been able to use it to exact his foreign policy goals. He's put the tariffs to work for the American people, which is what he said he was going to do. He campaigned on it. And what Stephen Moore said at the beginning is all these blue chip, the Wall Street firms, they were all projecting that it was going to be a recession. That when he said Liberation Day, they said Recession Day. And the Democrats were cheering. The Democrats were cheering. They wanted to see the economy go into recession because they wanted Orange Man to fail. They wanted Orange Man bad, Orange Man gone. That's what they wanted. They wanted failure. They didn't want success for the American economy. They wanted pain, just like when they shut down the government. But what we're seeing is we're seeing the results of despite what they told you would happen, we're seeing that it's actually turning out well for the American people. And the American people are starting to feel it. So we've been hearing all of this stuff about how the midterms were going to be a bloodbath. And they might be. They might be. They're that historically, the party out of power is able to drum people up and get them motivated to go against the party that's in power. But Trump's been showing results. Here's Clay Travis discussing it. Cut 17.
I was struck when you showed the clip earlier, Charlie, on the show where Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff were even praised a bit by MSNBC. It's because Trump not only is a builder and a deal maker, he's enabling builders and deal makers to get deals done. And that's why, Happy New Year, Merry Christmas to everybody out there. I really legitimately feel like, Charlie, we are seeing the greatest first-year presidency in any of our lives. I mean, when you consider the number of peace deals that Trump has brought around the world, we're getting closer and closer in Ukraine. The president of Netanyahu just came and gave Trump the first award in 80 years to a non-Israeli. Remember, for 10 years, we've heard Trump was Hitler. If you look at the growth rate, 4.3%. If you look at inflation, 2.7%. All-time record highs in the stock market. Nobody's even talking about this. Murders are going to decline 20% this year. Trump has saved thousands of lives of Americans, and the economy, the border is completely shut down. I just don't think we're getting enough recognition for what has been accomplished. And when I saw both of these with Netanyahu and with Zelensky, it just further epitomizes Trump's incredible first year, yeah. 2.0.
The first Trump administration, Trump 1.0, Trump said that we were going to be winning so much that we'd get sick of winning. And when I look at what he probably meant at the time, it's the type of things that we're seeing now. We're seeing immigration down to net negative migration. We're seeing the economy performing at double the growth that was forecasted and expected. We're seeing him defy the odds. And I think it's so important what Stephen Moore said about the fact that these Wall Street firms all predicted doom and gloom and he's outperformed their expectations. That's so important because you have to remember that when you hear these analysts on CNBC or on MSNBC or CNN or MS Now, excuse me, I dead named them, Jared. Don't let me do that. They're now MSNOW, MS Now. When they start telling you that all the experts say this or the experts say that, and that even like, you know, yesterday Trump was talking about how the CIA bombed Venezuela. They said, how dare he say that out loud? What was the point of having the CIA do it if you were just going to reveal it? Well, there are other reasons. And one of the reasons is if you have the CIA do it instead of the military, you don't need congressional approval. under the law. You just need to inform them of it. So this is probably the reason why he did it, because he knows what he's doing. He has advisors and lawyers who are giving him his options. He picks his option. But when you hear all these experts criticize, tell you it won't work, tell you that Trump is stupid and dumb and what he's thinking is wrong and that the tariffs. Now, I don't like the idea of tariffs. Trump has been getting a lot of leverage for the American people, and he's been accomplishing his agenda with tariffs. He ran for president saying he was going to use tariffs, he was going to use them in this way, and he's proving that that's what he's doing. He's collecting the revenue, he's getting the wins for the American economy, and we've been trying a bunch of other things that didn't work, and so let's give him the opportunity to prove that he's right, and so far, it seems to work out for him. So when they tell you that the experts are criticizing Trump, the experts will tell you that this president doesn't know what he's doing. This president is infirm, or we need to invoke the 25th Amendment, or he's crazy, or he's dumb, or he's... No, the experts were wrong. He's defied the expectations. These are the same people who said that he'd never be president again. These are the same people that were involved in the Russia, Russia, Russia hoax. These are the same people that were involved in Lawfare to try to stop Trump from being in office. These are the people that don't want you to believe that the results that you're seeing were possible. These were the people that said that the Congress needed to pass the bill that Joe Biden championed for immigration that would have allowed him to put more illegals in the country, not oriented toward it, that you had to pass the bill in order to do it. And Trump's the one that said, you don't need new laws. You just need a new president. So keep that in mind when they try to point to the experts. We'll do our poll question when we come back. This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Howie Carr will return. Howie Carr is back.
We are back on the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, 844-500-4242. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to Alan. Alan, you're on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Alan.
Thank you, Mr. Chadbourne, for taking my call. First, if you let me, I just want to say, I really do, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, thank you to the Howie team, and thank you to Howie Carr for giving Steve Robinson a beginning there. And, I mean, who knows where it's going to take you to, Aaron, because, I mean, if it wasn't for Steve Robinson and his whole team, the Maine would be in complete darkness. He is Maine's lighthouse. He keeps us going in the right direction and stumbling in the rocks. I just want to put that out there first for everybody. And then I want to just say to you, Aaron, you're 100% correct what you were saying before, because everybody needs to start kicking into another gear, because we got midterms coming up. And this isn't like any of the midterms we've ever encountered. We're going to face an enemy that's really in trenches and deep in trenches and made bunkers already. And we are so blinded to the ignorance, I mean, to the hatred that's really on our throats. The boot is on our throats, folks. And if we don't start carrying the water for Trump, we have to carry the water, whether you're around the water cooler at work, whether you're around the dinner table, whether you're around people that you don't even know. You're going to have to start bringing up things that Trump has accomplished and things that he has done as a team, because this media, this Goliath as a media out there is just after us, folks, in small ways and little ways. They've put little trolls out there, little Adolf Nick Fuentes's and little, we've up here in Maine. I mean, look what they've done to Maine. I mean, these people are very serious, and we got to start getting serious about it and start carrying the water for Trump. I know it's hard to bring up politics around people. I mean, and I know it's hard to even bring up certain things, but if we don't, it's not going to be out there. It's like that tree that falls in the woods for us if no one's there to hear it. I mean, did it fall? I mean, really, these people are bringing up stories that don't even matter. I mean,
you know, Alan, this is interesting, and sorry to interrupt you, but I think – you say it's hard to bring politics up around people. I've had this conversation with a number of people, with Senator Trey Stewart, who came on earlier. I've said this to him before too, is that there are people that feel that way on the right, that, oh, you don't want to bring up the politics. But have you ever noticed that the other side, they don't mind bringing up politics around you? They never feel bad for having to tell you what their politics and their ideology and what their beliefs are. But they want to make you feel like you can't do it. They want to shame you into silence. That's how they win. That's really why when I talk about Elon Musk buying Twitter, how that changed everything, is they wanted to condition you that you couldn't speak publicly, that your point of view was silence, that it didn't matter. They want to make it seem like it's socially unacceptable for you to speak out, but they never to feel that about themselves. So I think you're absolutely right. You do need to speak up and you do need to speak out.
Up here in Maine, I know you know Laura Libby. Laura Libby is the most kindest person you could ever encounter. The woman went to the University of Maine, and folks, I ain't kidding. You could probably look it up somewhere. I don't know where, but I'm telling you, it was like, it was absolutely disgusting. I mean, America was built on debate, folks. I'm sorry, whether you like it or not, we have to debate certain things. I mean, you can't just get your food and your from one side of the table. You have to be able to take things that you don't like. You got to be able to talk about things that you don't want to talk about. I mean, that's how this country was created, you know? I mean, like I always think of Benjamin Franklin, you guys. You know, you cannot wake people up that are pretending to be asleep. And that's what we were encountering. Thank you, Aaron. Love you guys.
Good call, Alan. Thanks for the call. 844-500-4242. You know, when we think about 2025 and you look back on it, Laurel Libby is a great example of someone who in I would say all of New England, she might have had like one of the biggest stories because she got, and this was an insane thing to happen. I heard my good friend Phil Harriman this morning discussing it on WGAN. He was saying that she, look at what happened to her. She got silenced by the Maine legislature. They took her vote away. They said she couldn't vote until she apologized because she posted a picture on Facebook. The Maine legislature stripped away her vote in the legislature. She was a duly elected representative, disenfranchising her constituents. She took them to court, and she was on her way to win. She was starting to see victories, and they then rescinded it so that they couldn't be found that what they did was unconstitutional. They took away her vote because she, again, she shared this story of a trans athlete, a former boy who became a girl, and he went from competing as a boy where he came in, I don't know if he placed low or came in fifth, and then when competing in women's sports, came in first. That was the story that she shared, and she shared a picture of it. And I think it was a public picture, a picture taken like from the newspaper. So not even, but it was because she shared the student's identity. She had to apologize or she couldn't vote. And they took her vote away and she said, I'm not going to apologize. I think it's public debate. You don't have the right to take my vote away. I'm not going to bow to you. And that she went down to the White House. It put this issue of boys and girls sports into the national spotlight. It led to that showdown between Janet Mills and Donald Trump. I think that's probably one of the biggest stories of the year in Maine. And it's probably one of the biggest stories, and she's probably one of the biggest national figures who has fought that. You know what, Jared? Let's book Laurel Libby for tomorrow. Let's get her on the show tomorrow so we can reflect on the year and kind of what 2026 holds for Maine and for the fight that she's bringing, because I know she's not stopping. She did announce that she's not running for governor. She's not running for the legislature next year, but she's going to be working on some of these issues, which I think will be big. So we'll try to get Laurel Libby on our final show of the year, which will be tomorrow. And it'll also be the day where we do our final poll question of the year, which we'll get to our poll question after this break. Right now, you know, the last caller was talking about losers in the media and how the media conspires against you. They want to make you feel a certain way or think a certain way. And it's a lot of the people that we feature in today's poll question that are complicit in that. So we'll do the poll question when we come back, and we'll try to book Laurel Libby for tomorrow. This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio, it's Howie Carr.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, in for Howie. Time to check on our poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Colette Tours. Discover Scotland with Colette and our very good friend Toby Leary of Cape Gunworks. He's going this September with Colette. Colette will handle all the details, the flights, the meals, the hotels, and local experiences. Your only job will be to have the time of your life. To join Toby, call Colette at 800-581-8942 or go to HowieCarShow.com. Click the banner to learn more. Have you been to Scotland, Jared?
I have not. I would love to go to Scotland.
I haven't actually. Either. I was talking to a friend yesterday, and they did a semester abroad when they were in college at where'd they go to college? Plymouth State. They went to Plymouth State, and she did a semester abroad, and she said it was the time of her life, that Scotland was so cool. There was so much to see. They really loved it. And we talked about scotch and just even scotch tasting. I would go just for that.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing like it right from the source. All right. Speaking of the poll question, what is today's poll question and what are the responses thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarShow.com, is who is the biggest left-wing media loser of 2025? 60 Minutes, Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, The Ladies of The View, Don Lemon, or Joy Reid?
This one's hard because they all are losers. They're all losers. And, you know, when, like, The Ladies of The View, they had, like, they'll have on Marjorie Taylor Greene now. Now that she's attacking Trump, they're happy to have her on. Marjorie Taylor Greene, by the way, just did this interview with the New York Times Magazine. The New York Times Magazine. And we talked about this. I was talking about it with you, Jared, I think one of the other days I was hosting that. You know, she went on this tour, like Marjorie Taylor Greene went on this tour, and she went on The Sunday Show. She went on CNN with Dana Bash, where she apologized. She went on The View. She was doing this whole thing. Now she's on with the New York Times. So she's definitely up to something for her to continue this kind of goodwill tour with her strange new respect for standing up to Trump, because the only way that you as a Republican can get on these shows, just ask former Governor Chris Christie, you've got to attack Trump. You've got to be anti-Trump. Now, some of the ways that she's attacking Trump, they won't cover. They only cover the things like the Epstein thing or whatever they think is going to be divisive for him, or if they think it's going to divide the MAGA coalition against him, then they'll cover Marjorie Taylor Greene. So Marjorie Taylor Greene, she goes on The View, they'll have her on and they'll be nice to her because she's attacking Trump. But when they had RFK Jr.'s wife on, Cheryl Hines, you know, from Curb Your Enthusiasm and a successful actress, but Hollywood won't talk to her now because she's married to Bobby. They were so mean to her. They were nasty. They're nasty to Republicans. That's how they treat them. You look at Meghan McCain and the other like token Republicans that have been on the show before. They all talk about how they were actually treated by these women. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, go ahead. I here's the thing. Let's make a rule. You want to have Marjorie Taylor Greene on, which I think they're having her on again, The View, next week because it's her last day in Congress or whatever. She's leaving on January the 5th. Once her, what is it, her pension kicks in?
Yeah, the pension.
Yeah, once she can cash out, she'll be gone.
I mean, the principal kicks in.
So once she's able to vest her benefits, she'll go. They're going to have her on again. I think Marjorie Taylor Greene, they should have to have her on every day for a month. I think it would serve both of them right, because we've heard from them for years and years and years that Marjorie Taylor Greene was deranged and a kook and like way too extreme and couldn't be taken seriously. She was canceled. She was beyond. She was the worst person in America. And now they love her. Well, you know what, Marjorie Taylor Greene, you should have to go and sit with them every single day, because these women are vile. They're not good people. They're not well intentioned. They don't want the best for America. They actually despise people who disagree with them. The way they speak about Trump or his supporters or people that disagree with them, like they're not who they've been laid bare. They've been shown to be feckless. They've been shown to be ineffectual. They've been shown to be a joke, and so they are big losers. Jimmy Kimmel, also a loser. Jimmy Kimmel and his wife, and talking about how they're the true ones standing up. Jimmy Kimmel, by the way, who did blackface, got away with it, who hosted The Man Show, and now he's some champion of the left and progressive values. Did you see, by the way, that there was a music artist, Chappell Roan, did this tribute to, who's that French actress that just died?
Brigitte Bardot.
Brigitte Bardot. So Chappell Roan was doing this big tribute to Brigitte Bardot, and then had to backtrack it because of the controversial stances that Brigitte Bardot has taken in the past. Like, come on now. Like, let's not take ourselves so seriously where like a music artist can't like say a nice thing about a former artist that, you know, came up in a different time because, oh, there are these unpopular views. Like, who actually cares what Chappell Roan thinks about the views that Brigitte Bardot had in the past? It's just ridiculous. So anyway, the Jimmy Kimmel, he showed his true character. He showed his true character when he was commenting on Charlie Kirk, and he couldn't apologize, and he doesn't want to apologize. He wanted to use it to score cheap political points, which was distasteful, which was terrible. Owners of some stations that his show was carried on, they objected. He was taken off the air until enough time had gone past. He was put in the penalty box, or as my 4.5-year-old niece would say, he was put in timeout. And he was finally let out of timeout. But in order for Athena to come out of timeout, Jared, I'm not sure what you do with your kid, but in order for Athena to come out of timeout, she has to apologize. She has to say what, she has to acknowledge what she did was wrong, and she has to apologize for it. Do you let your kid out of timeout if they don't apologize?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. That's what we should have done with Jimmy Kimmel. So he's a loser, but I think he got away with it. So I'm not saying he's the biggest loser, but I find him distasteful. I find the woman of the View distasteful. The one I think who is the actual biggest loser because he's losing his show, and part of why he's losing his show is we haven't looked at the numbers, the financials for Jimmy Kimmel. I don't think he's losing as much money as the bloated, unfunny political staff of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. He took what was a very successful show under David Letterman, and he just kept making it more and more political. The guests on his show, it was like a Sunday talk show. He didn't have any Republicans on ever. He didn't have any other balanced views ever. You watch the like cringy skits that he did during COVID with like the dancing syringes, and you look at just like how in the tank he was and how unfunny he was and how they were hemorrhaging money. Yeah, you sell a company and you're like an albatross hanging around the neck. Of course they're going to get rid of you. It's a good financial decision. It's in the country's best interest. Goodbye, Stephen Colbert. We're not going to miss you. Long way of saying, Jared, that my vote in the poll question is for Stephen Colbert.
Stephen Colbert is at 14% right now. That's in fourth place. Ladies of the View in the lead at 24%, 23% for Jimmy Kimmel, 20% for 60 Minutes, 14% for Colbert, 15% for Joy Reid, 3% for Don Lemon.
All right, so let's do some housekeeping. So tomorrow we're gonna just be the biggest loser of the year. We had a couple clear leaders yesterday in yesterday's poll, and they were what? Kamala Harris and Tim Walz.
Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, and the Biden crime family.
So we'll keep those three in. So today, are we gonna take the top three?
Yeah, we'll take the top three. We'll have a.
I think anyone over 20% gets into the poll, right? So we'll try to have six for tomorrow, and then we'll look at the list. We'll take the three from today, the three from yesterday, and then if there's anyone that has been pointed out to us that was missing, a texter earlier tried to say that we forgot someone. Jim Acosta. Yeah, I forgot about him.
Yep.
When did he get fired? It was just in January.
January of 25.
Yeah, that's what the texter said. He got crammed January 28, 2025. And why did he get fired?
Did he get fired or did he? I think he kind of fire quit.
They got rid of his show, right? Yeah. They were like, no one's watching
it. Yeah, they got rid of they wanted to move him to like the overnight or something. And
they'd already moved him once. Yeah, and like no one liked him, no one cared. He spent Trump 1.0 making himself the story. By like being at the White House, picking fights with Trump, trying to ride the Trump coattails into some sort of fame and notoriety, like, you know, people do. That's what he tried to do. He tried to ride Trump's coattails, and he tried to make himself the story. So Jim Acosta,
He was not technically fired. He chose to leave CNN because they offered him a late night time slot.
Oh, they tried to bury him in the graveyard, and he said, "You can't fire me, I quit." And he took his services to Substack.
Yeah, and I think he has a podcast show as well.
You know, Mark Halperin has done a great job on, I don't know if you listen to him ever, but he's always in my Twitter feed, and I think he's on Megyn Kelly's platform. He's done a great job with a comeback. He was someone who was canceled. I think he got Me Too'd or something, but he's shown like a very big openness to understanding what's going on and what the media has gotten wrong. He's someone that came up through the normal pathways and then has realized what's changed and how the media has gone astray. And I think that's a good example that we really need to have. And we need to have more recognition of our people like him. But you got these Jim Acostas that they don't realize that they are the problem. They think that Trump is the problem. But no, no. Trump is the answer to the problem that you all have created. The media ecosystem, the media echo chamber, the censorship, the wokeism, the denial of basic facts, the gaslighting. That's what led to Donald Trump. That's what led to a lot of people saying enough is enough. They wanted a disruptor. They wanted someone to go put America's interests first, to stop the gaslighting, whether it's the border, whether it's on gender, whether it's on COVID. They wanted to stop the gaslighting. And they wanted to return to common sense. And so Jim Acosta and others in the media, ladies of The View, Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, part of why you're losers is because you actually gave us the second Trump administration. All the things you did that you thought were going to get in the way and stop him, that's what actually got us here. So you're all losers. And we'll there's still time. If one of your favorite person wasn't in the top three, get on HowieCarshow.com, give them a vote, get them up so they'll be in the poll tomorrow. When we'll crown, do you give them a crown if they're the biggest loser of the year?
We'll come up with the loser.
The loser crown. Maybe I'll get one. I'll go to the party store after I'm done here. I'll find a crown fit for a loser only on the Howie Carr Show. This Christmas season, as we celebrate the gift of life, you have an opportunity to share that same gift with a mother and her baby. Imagine a young woman facing an unplanned pregnancy, feeling alone and unsure of what to do. She's searching for hope. And that's where Preborn Ministries come in. Steve Jobs, Andrea Bocelli, Steph Curry, Jack Nicholson, Celine Dion, even Oprah, all unplanned. So many others. Maybe you were unplanned. We have no doubt that you know someone who was unplanned. And God's plan of redemption often works in the unplanned. When a woman is struggling to make a life-altering decision, Preborn Networks of Clinics is there. Every mother Preborn serves faces a moment of decision when she sees her baby's ultrasound, and in that sacred moment, she has the opportunity to say yes. Preborn's mission is to help her find the courage, the faith, and the support to do just that. This Christmas season, for just $28, you can help save a life that could change the world, and thanks to a special matching grant, your gift is doubled. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com/Howie. That's preborn.com/Howie. This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Follow Howie on TikTok.
We're looking at TikTok.
At Howie Carr Radio Network.
The name is hot. The brand is hot.
Howie Carr is back.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, in for Howie. Thank you for joining us. You know, one of these stories that keeps coming into my newsfeed that I don't care at all about, Jared, is this thing about the Kennedy Center. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of them putting Trump's name on it because I think, you know, it's a monument. I don't like changing the names of things because if Trump puts his name, then the next people, they'll take his name off of it. They'll put someone else's name on. Like, I'm done with all of that. I did like, you know, stopping the plans to change who goes on the money. Like, whoever's on the money, leave them on the money. We don't need to do all this virtue signaling on our money. And we don't need to do virtual signaling by changing the names on buildings and all of that stuff. Like, I just, it's Kennedy, Trump. There's a new building, you can name a new building after whoever you want. But all of this craziness with, like, they want to make us care about, like, oh, Rick Grinnell is not doing a good job at the Kennedy Center. Artists are pulling out and not performing at the Kennedy Center. Like, who cares? Do you care?
I do not care at all.
Yeah, like, stop trying to make me care about the Kennedy Center. Stop making me care about even the Kennedy Center honors. And I know Donald Trump hosted them because he's a showman. He's a, you know, before anything, he likes to put on a show. He's an entertainer. He likes it. He likes to play host. He had that Truth Social post where he said, oh, maybe I'm going to be so good that I'll quit being president and I'll just go and be a full-time host. Well, I don't care about the Kennedy Center. So I get story after story about how the ratings were down. They're just doing that because they know it's going to bug Trump. They're trying to get in Trump's head. Well, you know what they should be talking about instead? They should be talking about how his performance compares to the performance of his predecessor. I saw an interview with Marsha Blackburn, the senator from, where is it, Tennessee? Is she from? She had a great comment because as people are talking about, like, oh, well, why aren't costs coming down or why hasn't Trump done a better job? She makes a point that I've been making for weeks. Cut 16.
Much of what President Trump is cleaning up was caused by the weakness of Joe Biden and the apology tour from Barack Obama. We know that. Now, what Donald Trump is doing is an America first foreign policy and making certain that Americans are protected. He is doing this with strength, with resolve, with intentionality. And that is why you see what is happening in Venezuela, going after those drug boats. You know, the good thing here is, for years you would hear, just say no to drugs. Well, Donald Trump is saying, just say no to the drug dealers and the traffickers, and don't ever even let them into this country. You have hundreds of thousands of individuals that have lost lives and families that have been impacted and friends that have been lost through this process of drugs in this country. And Donald Trump is doing something about that. Promises made, promises kept.
Not only is he taking the drug dealers, he's eliminating the drug dealers. Like, people are happy to see it. People are happy to see this kind of no holds barred approach to actually implementing what he said he was going to do. They were sick of the apology tour. They were sick of the botched pull out of Afghanistan and American weakness put on display by Joe Biden. They wanted to see strength, and they've gotten to see it in what Trump is doing, and this strength in Venezuela. And they want to tell you that, oh, well, he didn't know what he was doing. He outed the CIA. He gets to do it. He's the president. He gets to decide what he's going to tell us about. He gets to decide what he's going to tell us about, and he probably had a reason to do it. He wanted to take credit for what had happened. He wanted people to know, because if you don't, I mean, maybe the intelligence agencies in the other countries have picked up on what he's doing, but he's actually getting results. He's taken the war on drugs to the narco terrorists to the point that he's not just blowing up their ships and having this debate about whether they blew up survivors. He's saying, we're going to blow up the very warehouses where the drugs are being shipped out of and shipped from. We're not going to give them any quarter. And I think that anyone who objects to that, anyone who's upset to see that he's taking the war to the drug dealers, to the narco terrorists, to those who wish us ill, those who are poisoning us, I mean, whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? Is that the chant that Chuck Schumer did, or the song they would sing? I know Grace sings the whose side are you on chant. I'll have to ask her.
Yeah, I don't think that was Chuck Schumer.
No. Maybe someone on that side. But that's the whole thing, is whose side are they on when they want to stand up to Trump and say, oh, well, don't go fight Venezuela. And I don't claim to understand the whole Venezuela situation, but do I mind that they're blowing up drug dealers and narco terrorists? No, keep it up. Keep it up. What I also like is that he's bringing attention to the fraud that's going on here in the country. Elon Musk was ringing the bell about this with Doge. Here's a quick clip, and I'll tell you to cut it up before it's over, Jared. But there's a clip resurfacing of Elon Musk back in like February or March telling Ted Cruz on his podcast what was actually going on that Doge was uncovering. And the media didn't want you to hear this. They were telling you that it didn't exist. But it hits a bit differently now with what we're seeing in Minnesota. Cut 13.
And the single biggest thing that they're worried about is that Doge is going to turn off fraudulent payments of entitlements. I mean, everything from Social Security, Medicare, unemployment, disability, Small Business Administration loans.
Yeah, that's what they were afraid of, that he's going to turn it off. Well, that's what we wanted, and we like it. This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chapman.